You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 26th of February 2025. The Australian share market fell today by 0.1%. We'll have the details with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management in a few moments, but first to the Bureau of Statistics, which said the monthly inflation indicator remained at an annual rate of 2.5% in January, staying within the RBA's target band. But underlying inflation, which is what the Reserve Bank follows because it strips out one-off moves, rose slightly to 2.8%. An issue is that the largest contributors to the annual movement in prices were household essentials, so housing and food. While rents and new home costs are easing, they're still higher than this time last year. And while electricity is down 11.5% on the year, it was even lower in previous months because some government rebates, namely Queensland's, have already been used up by households. In the supermarket and food retailers, bread, meat and fruit and vegetables are all growing above inflation, especially berries, avocado, mangoes and citrus fruits. For more, I spoke with Professor Richard Holden. He's the Chief Economist at Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. Richard, headline inflation, the indicator for the month, up 2.5% within the RBA's target band. Underlying rate up from 2.7 to 2.8. What does this say about how inflation is tracking here in Australia?
I think what it says is it's pretty sticky. We're not making an enormous amount of progress on the underlying core measures of inflation. That headline figure was in line with market expectations, but is hugely skewed by the big state and federal electricity subsidies. And so actual underlying inflation, we're not making a lot of progress. I mean, you don't want to draw too much into 0.1 of a percent this way or that way, but call it flat rather than downward. Which is not great news for household budgets or for the interest rate outlook.
Let's break some of the deep numbers up, because what I found interesting is that of all the components, food and housing continue to be the biggest contributors to the annual movement in inflation. What does this say about the cost of living for Australians, given they're two, I guess, essentials?
They are essential. So people have really nowhere to go on that stuff. And I think where the cost of living crisis really bites, we saw this in the US and it certainly played into the US election. We're seeing it here, is that when people feel like they have no alternatives or they have to make wrenching decisions and choices, changing big things about their lives or their families' lives, that's when people really notice it and get very upset about it. And of course, there's a salience to stuff that you buy at the supermarket three or four times a week, that you just see these prices and the inflation that's coming through. You see them all the time.
You mentioned the effect of the electricity rebates, right? Can we go into more detail about that? Because the increase in inflation, the annual inflation rate for housing was caused by increases in electricity prices only in Queensland, predominantly, I think, after residents there used up the state's electricity rebates. Isn't there this real risk, though, when federal and other state incentives come to an end, particularly for electricity, that inflation may spur up again?
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, that's precisely what the RBA has been forecasting about headline inflation, because they look at the policy as it's currently implemented. And they say, well, when that comes off, we're going to see a big spike in inflation, you know, which raises the question of, you know, what that's going to do to potential interest rate movements, but also whether governments can really feel like they can ever give up on this stuff. Are they going to be willing to see inflation spike? Possibly if there was a change of government, they can kind of rule a line. But an incumbent government saying, well, sure, we had the subsidies for a while, but now bad luck, your bills are going up relative to what you expected, and the inflation figures look terrible, that's a very hard pill to swallow. And so it makes one wonder whether these subsidies are just going to keep on going and going.
Is there anywhere where inflation is easing?
It is easing in some areas. Some of those are cyclical, but some of those things are like sort of holidays and vacations and things like that. And that's pretty understandable when you've got a lot of price pressures in the rest of the economy. It's understandable that people aren't spending a lot of money on going away on holidays and things like that. So that takes off some of the demand there and some of the price pressures. But they are, strong price pressures in a lot of those very important areas for households.
So all up, what do you think this means then for the Reserve Bank? We know that they've already cut interest rates once. Those people expecting further rate cuts. What do you think the inflation outlook and what this says about where inflation is going will mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up about further rate cuts anytime soon. I think Michelle Bullock at her press conference after the announcement the other day sent a fairly clear message. Just don't expect this to be a whole sequence of cuts. We're going to look at the data as it comes in. And, this is just one piece of data, but it's showing that we do have a sticky inflation problem. So I think people should brace themselves for interest rates not to budge for an extended period of time, unfortunately.
That's Professor Richard Holden from Chartered Accountants. Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast. And the Australian share market fell. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.14% to 8,240. For more, I spoke with Niv Dagan, Executive Director at Peak Asset Management. Niv, the market's down today. Why?
Yeah, US stocks a bit nervous. Donald Trump's revived tariffs threats again, and consumer confidence, Ricardo, notched the biggest monthly decline in over 4 years, so markets are lower.
I've gone early in detail with an economist about the inflation data, the inflation indicator more specifically, which was out today. What's that now saying about the chances of a follow-up interest rate cut from the Reserve Bank? What's the market saying?
Yeah, look, so right now the market's actually factoring in an 80% interest rate cut in May, and inflation's now at the lower end between that 2 to 3%. 2.5% is the number, and it does show that inflation is heading in the right direction.
Still, our food is one of the biggest contributors to annual inflation. We also heard from Woolies today, posting a 20% decline in half-year underlying profit. It was also hit by industrial action. What can you tell me about its result, and perhaps what it's saying about food inflation?
Yeah, so Woolworth, as you mentioned, dropped underlying profit by 21%. The market was expecting about $770 million profit, came in at $739 million, which was lower than expected. Obviously, they had a lot of issues end of last year with those industrial actions, and the lower earnings, especially in the food segment, were driven largely by discounting. So consumers are facing it tough, and Woolworth is obviously bearing the brunt of it all.
Any other profit numbers you're looking at today?
Yeah, so Woodside Energy, a $46 billion energy giant, reported a net profit of that rose 115%. So the stock is actually up about 2.5% as we type. Also, WiseTech, the embattled technology business, they rallied about 2.2%. They unveiled a really strong revenue number, $327 million US dollars. So the market is enjoying that. So, yeah, some good profits coming through.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Look, gold's been the shining light at around that $3,000 an ounce. So a lot of money coming into gold and copper on the back of some tariffs. We're seeing money return to some of the technology name defensives as investors are seeking some additional defensive in the light of lower interest rates for additional dividends coming through, and also technology overall where we're really bullish. So overall, those three themes.
That's Niv Dagan there from Peak Asset Management. Don't forget to give this podcast a rating or a view if you're enjoying it, and to click that subscribe button.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.